And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we're going to talk about the topic that I find really hard. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord. So I've put together a few slides, and that's more because it helps my thinking. So I'm hoping that people are able to follow that. But just to take a few minutes, both for those of us who are online and those of us who are here, and just to ask, when we think about waiting, give it some thought. What sort of feelings does waiting conjure up? For some, depending on what we're waiting for, it could be feelings of fear, stress, frustration, discomfort. If it's something great, like we're expecting a baby, you know, it could be expectation, anticipation. If we're in a doctor's surgery, it could be fidgeting, as you sort of wait to hear what's going on or wait for your name to be called. Staring at the ceiling, listening to the clock tick. It's really interesting how loud the clock sounds when you wait as it tick, 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 tick. And a lot of times when we wait passively. So we're waiting and we're doing nothing. We're waiting for someone to do something or for something to change. And we can sometimes feel out of control. And a good example is the past 20, 21 months that we've been going through with COVID. And this sense of constant waiting and this sense of uncertainty and this sense of constant change that you're in absolute no control over. But it sort of got me thinking, and this was actually, although I was sort of giving some thought to this for a couple of weeks, when Christian spoke last week, and it was right towards the end where he sort of mentioned that as a church, we're in waiting, and we're waiting for our building, and we're waiting for things to happen, and we're waiting for the numbers to increase, etc. And it got me to thinking, well, actually, how do we wait? And I think when the Bible speaks of waiting, apparently there's over 100 times that the word waiting is in the Bible, and over 70 verses that is about waiting. I haven't checked. But when the Bible speaks about waiting, it feels like it's an entirely different thing, and that we're not expected to sit passively as though we've taken a number at the blood center and we're waiting to be called. That actually we're expected to be active in our waiting. So biblical waiting is not a passive activity, but it's demonstrated by active dependence upon and obedience to God. And it feels as though this is something we should be practicing even as we wait. But how do we know what that dependence upon God, and how do we know when we're being obedient to God? So the next slide, I've got a couple of points around how we can wait. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 27. So you're going to wait while I bring it up on my phone. And I'm going to go through a few verses here in Psalm 27. Almost verse by verse, but not quite. And we're going to look at how we wait. Now, this is a Psalm of David. And it's been very interesting just going through this journey with David over the past week. And I'd quite like to share that with you. So the first how on waiting is that we trust in him. And we had that word trust in a few of the songs that we sang this morning. And you ask, how do we trust in God? And we're going to start to look at verse 1. So David expressed great trust in God through verse 1. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We're normally afraid because we expect the worst while we wait. We're afraid because people are ill. We're afraid because people are dying. We're afraid because there's bad news. And we know that news seems to be right at our fingertips all the time. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who over the past 20 months have chosen not to listen to the news at times, because it almost feels that the only thing you get is bad news. And it's almost as a matter of self-preservation, you remove yourself from it for a while. Because when we operate in the space of fear, it leads to anxiety, it leads to stress, etc. And actually, in the presence of trust, fear does not reside. Fear cannot live where there is trust. And the kind of dynamic trust that David expresses here, he says in verse 2, that it dispels fear and despair. In verse 2 to 3 he says, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear, and though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." So although it may seem that there are a lot of bad things going on, although it may seem that there are a lot of unpleasant things going on, even then, I will be confident. In Psalm 11:27, it tells us that there's no need to fear the bad news. Our hearts can remain steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And that sort of brings us quite nicely onto seeking him, which is the second point. David conveyed his trust in the Lord by longing to be with him, to commune in God's presence, and to worship in his temple. In essence, David is trusting in the Lord through seeking him. In verse 4, David writes, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And you can sense in that verse David's sense of safety and security being in God's dwelling place. Do you feel a sense of safety and security when you dwell in God? And in verse 5 to 6 it says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and he will set me upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing, and I will make music to the Lord." There are a few words here that I just want us to examine. And again, I'd like for us to just give some thought to what sort of feelings these words conjure up inside of us. Remembering the feelings we spoke about right at the beginning, when we're waiting. Listen to the words here. It's a different set of words. Safe. High up on a rock. Now when it says high up on a rock, I immediately think of pictures of people at the top of mountains when they reach the top and they put their hands out, and the expression that brings. Exalted above my enemies. Shouts of joy. Singing. Making music. And you see the contrast. The contrast in the type of waiting. One that is based in fear, and actually one that is based in trust and seeking God. Big contrast between the two. In seeking the Lord while we wait, because we do not fear or despair, we can experience a different type of attributes while we wait. Our experience can be absolutely different, and we can have a spirit of praise and a spirit of worship while we wait on the Lord. And the third point I wanted to just touch on the how is through prayer. We can wait on the Lord through prayer. So in verses 7 to 14, David talks about waiting on the Lord in eager expectation of deliverance. And I'm just going to read a few of those verses for you. Hear my voice when I call,
right?
Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You get a sense of he's asking God because he feels as though he's not heard. He feels as though he's not seen. You can get a sense of rejection and a sense of abandonment in those verses that we read. But I quite like the fact that actually what David is doing here is acknowledging his feelings. Sometimes as Christians we feel the need to hide our feelings. Sometimes we feel as though we have to always be in this positive frame of mind, because if we say anything that isn't positive, or if we're open about our feelings, that somehow we're saying that God isn't able. But actually, it becomes really important. The Lord knows our hearts anyway. So it becomes important for us to acknowledge our feeling, and he does that in those verses. But in verse 11, he then asks God for wisdom and direction. He says, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. So he's asking for wisdom, he's asking for direction, and he's asking for protection from his foes. And in verse 13, he then demonstrates his faith in God. So he's saying, Lord, all of this is happening, and I'm asking for your wisdom, and I'm asking for your direction. But you know what? I'm also going to demonstrate my faith by wholly believing that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says in verse 13, I remain confident of this. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that says to us that even when there are things that may be going wrong, even when things are not going to our plans, even when there's illness, even when there's death, when there's financial worries, when there's distress, when there's stress, or whatever else is going on, we can demonstrate our faith wholly by believing that we will see the goodness of the Lord. And verse 14, I struggle with verse 14 a little bit, because I thought, well, this doesn't quite feel the same. It feels as though, the other verses, you could almost see the prayer bit. But actually, I realized that what is happening here is that David is affirming and reminding himself in verse 14. He's saying, it's almost like saying, you know what, Philippians, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. So you follow a whole process of, actually, I am overwhelmed, there is a lot going on, but I'm going to affirm my faith because I believe that you are a good Lord, and so therefore I will say to myself, wait for the Lord. Right, so on the next slide, or the next thing I wanted to touch on briefly, is what happens when we do wait for the Lord. And there are a couple of things that I thought of. Actually, waiting on the Lord brings confident expectation. Because we know the Lord, because we trust in him, we can't be confident of positive results We can be confident of who God is. We can be confident of what God is capable of doing. And we do not have to lose heart when we pray, because we live within that confidence. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 tells us that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And I like that bit, according to his will. And immediately I sort of think, but how do I know that I'm in God's will? Well, actually, let's go back to trust, seek, and prayer. If we are trusting in God and we're seeking him and we are in constant communication with him, he will reveal his will to us. The second point I wanted to make here is that waiting on the Lord renews our strength. Now, we all know that verse, going to be from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Every time I hear that voice, every time I hear that verse, a few things come to my mind. Power, supernatural, and inner strength are the things that I think about. Because it is only in the strength of the Lord that we can do things that may appear not to be in the natural. That you're walking without faint, you're running, and you're never getting weary. We know that that's not in the natural. And that only comes because we operate within the strength of the Lord. And I also wanted to share 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, which remains one of my favorite verses whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed or out of control, despondent, weak. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Now, I will be really honest here. I sometimes struggle with the second part of that verse, because I don't really want to boast in my infirmities. I prefer not to have them. But it's the reminder that God's grace is sufficient for us. And he says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. There was a song that that Christian requested last week, which every time I hear that song, it reminds me of a journey that I was taking. We were living in Chesterton Drive at the time, and we had a lot of stuff going on. And I'm walking from Chesterton Drive to the train station, and I'm singing and crying my heart out with the song. It's a song, never once did we ever walk alone. There's another song, Spirit, lead me where you are. My trust is without borders. I can't remember what it's called, but that's a song. That again takes me back to a place where I know without a shadow of doubt that I was not operating in my own strength, that the Lord was carrying me through the situations that we were going through at the time, and that he was placing within me the songs that reminded me ever so confidently that he is with me even through the storm. And it just reminds me again of this verse. I think it might be Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So even though I may be going through an unpleasant place at the moment, I can do this because my strength isn't physical, my strength is in the Lord. Waiting on the Lord establishes our faith and brings serenity and stability. And for that, I want to look at Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 3. When David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, and out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock, and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Can I just take you back a few minutes when we're talking about seeking him? And do you remember the words we considered while we spoke about that? And many of those are replicated right here in this verse. It's a verse of deliverance from uncertainty. It talks about being in a slimy, muddy mire. And we can imagine that. I mean, we probably haven't been in that level of a mire, but we've walked in mud, so we sort of know how that could be a bit tricky underfoot at times and a bit hard to move at any pace. And God is taking him from that sort of uncertainty to stability. He's placing his feet on a rock, and all of a sudden he has a firm place to stand. Verse of deliverance. It's a verse of praise. He's put a new song in our mouth, a hymn of praise. And what I quite like about this this particular verse is the end bit. It's very exciting because we get all of that, and it's almost like we get a cherry on the cake. Because as this passage affirms, waiting on the Lord is also a testimony to others who will see our faith, and as a result, they will put their trust in God. So you see, it becomes even more important how we wait. Because the wait isn't just about us, the wait is also about others. Others will see the way that we respond while we wait. And in waiting on the Lord through prayer, through trust, and through seeking him, others will also come to the Lord, and we will be testimony to the people around us. The final point I want to make on this one is that waiting on the Lord also brings God's blessings. I like James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind. And you will know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature, complete, and you will lack nothing. You will be mature, complete, and you will lack nothing. And there is, as far as I'm concerned, no greater testimony of God's blessings. He says that we will lack nothing, which means that we will have his blessings and we will have everything that we need. In closing, you may well ask, and so what? What does this really mean? And how do I take that with me? Well, it's just really to say that sometimes we might feel as though the Lord does not see us. We might feel as though the Lord does not hear us. We might feel as though the Lord isn't answering our prayers. And during these moments, it becomes really important where we put our trust and our faith. We can put our trust in and our faith in the living God because we know him. And actually he invites us to do just that. And we can wait on the Lord in eager anticipation, knowing that he is with us and he is in control of our lives. He will do what he has promised. He will rescue and save us. Amen. And he is always working for our good, even when we don't feel like it. Romans 8:28 says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what I want to leave with you today is through patience, courageous, active, trusting, seeking, and praying, we can learn to wait on the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Brilliant.
Goodbye.
As we absorb that rich truth.